Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So there are just two groups of workers affected by the high-profile doings of Marissa Mayer and Sheryl Sandberg right now, working women and working men. Marissa Mayer, the new Yahoo CEO, if you haven't heard this, is getting a big backlash for the end of telecommuting from home that she has ordered. Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook, is getting backlash over her Women in the Workplace book and social media experiment, which aren't even out yet. Lisa Belkin, who writes about the work and family balance for The Huffington Post, joins me now to talk about both and take your calls. Hi, Lisa. Welcome back to WNYC.
So good to be here. Hi. And in person.
In person. We've done this on the phone so many times. It's great to see you.
Yes, I've done it from home, and now I'm talking about working from home, not at home.
And you're part of the backlash. I saw your article headlined, Marissa Mayer's work-from-home ban is exactly the opposite of what CEOs should be doing. So what's going on here as you see it?
I thought we were past this. I mean, working from home. Well, first of all, working from home sounds like not working. Okay, we're not really talking about staying home and pretending you're working and actually watching The View and watching your children. We're talking about flexibility. We're talking about maybe some jobs where you work from home every single day. But most jobs, it's you come in sometimes, you don't come in sometimes. When you have to burrow down and do a project, perhaps you'll stay home. We're talking about flexibility. And flexibility is the great advantage of all this technology. The downside of all this technology is they can get you all the time. Our work day is longer. So there's actually a good part of it, which is you can do it more flexibly. You don't have to have your butt in the chair. And she went backwards. She just went backwards.
Now, the argument on the other side is the underlying question of what works for the workplace, raised by Marissa Mayer, that working from home makes you less innovative. And so from what I've been reading, studies of different companies and Mayer's own experience at Google apparently indicate that people who telecommute are productive but not innovative. And struggling Yahoo needs innovation right now. Do you think that's wrong?
It's a fascinating conversation that suddenly has bubbled up, the idea that people have been doing this, and now in the past 4 days we've been looking at how it does and doesn't work. Every study shows that you get more productive if you are allowed to be in control of the way you work. Studies also show that there's less innovation. There's less of the cross-pollination. Now, is the answer to that to simply say, no, you cannot ever? Or is the answer to that to say, okay, let's see what jobs can be done in what ways, and perhaps we'll say you must be here for cross-pollination periods but it's got to be more creative than just just slap you on the wrist. Now, she's also dealing with a very particular situation, and it's become a very general conversation. She is, as far as anyone can tell, trying to target a relatively small group that may well not be working productively from where they're working. And so she's either trying to get them to be productive because they're being watched, or she's trying to get them to quit. But the larger conversation, the larger message is, okay, our solution to that is we're going to make you come in.
Blunt instrument. Now, listeners, we can't do all of this well today, and we'll get to the Sheryl Sandberg piece, and maybe some of you already know about that or have read sneak previews of Lean In and want to call about that, that's fine. But let's primarily take calls on the telecommuting piece right now, and later in the week we'll talk about Sheryl Sandberg with calls and her ideas of women leaning into leadership and what that means. We're also trying to get her on the show. But folks, in your experience, when does telecommuting work well? When does it not work well? 212-433-WNYC. As an employee or an employer, when does telecommuting work well? When does it not work well? 212-433-9692. And if you work at a tech company or in any other creative industry, is coworker FaceTime a key to success? 212-433-WNYC, our call-in line. That's not our pledge line. We'll never ask you for money on the air. 212-433-9692 for Lisa Belkin, who writes about work and family for the Huffington Post. When telecommuting is to be approved on a case-by-case basis, what do you see as the standards for it? Can you do it effectively with a two-year-old at home and no other grown-ups?
No, no, absolutely not. And that's been a lot of the backlash to the backlash is people saying, well, you know, if you're watching your kid, no responsible worker is going to say they're doing a full-time job while also doing another full-time job. I think we shouldn't be talking anymore about why we're working at home. It shouldn't be, well, I should be able to do this because my twins trump your sick grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's irrelevant why we want to work at home. What we need to do is make a business case for it. Here is how I'm going to get this done. Here is how you're going to make sure I'm available when you need me. Here is how we're going to measure my productivity. And so we need to stop talking about, in a way, why this is better and start talking far more about why this works, or more to the point, how it works.
Here's an interesting comment on our website for the issue that this raises at the very end of the comment. Steve from Rockville Center writes, I work for a major telecom company which is gradually rolling back work at home. We were at the point where most non-unionized employees worked at home. Now, whenever there are any reorganizations, they use that opportunity to bring people into the office. If you refuse, you're laid off. It's an employer's market. They set the rules now. So that last thought, it's an employer's market. They set the rules now. That suggests that it's in the company's interest for you to be at the office all the time and only in your own interest for you to work from home.
I think it seems easier to many managers to manage people when they can see them. I think more talented managers can better manage people and get more out of them if they give them flexibility. So really, when you're telling someone they have to be in the office or else, what you're saying is, my measure of your job is how long you're here. I know you're doing your job if you walk in at a certain time and you walk out at a certain time. Well, that's not a measure of how someone's doing a job. So when they're out of the office, you actually have to pay attention to what they're doing. You have to pay attention to the work they're producing. There's the concept of results-only work environments, where the motto is you can work wherever you want, whenever you want, as long as the work gets done. Now, as long as the work gets done is the really important part of that sentence. And if the work is getting done, then why does someone care where you are?
Right. But if you're putting widgets on a machine, you can measure easily how well the work is getting done. If you're trying to invent new social media designs at Yahoo, there isn't such a simple measure.
No, there isn't. And that's the problem. That's the blunt instrument.
We have a lot of people calling up, including some managers. And let's go to one. Mary and Ramsey, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to tell you, I've been working at home for over 10 years. And I work for a technology firm. I don't want to name them, but they're very large in this area of the country. And so the work that I do is very team-oriented. I work, you know, basically I'm at home, so I'm able to do a lot of conference calling. And the work is also, the teams are multinational. So they're not only in my time zone, they're really in 24 time zones. So the pros are, you know, obviously flexibility for, you know, for the employee. You know, you get to do the work, you know, and work in other things that are important to your schedule. And myself and my colleagues, you know, people who especially have children and responsibilities can kind of put that in. The work output is actually very measurable. The company that I work for has, you know, is very successful at being able to measure how you're doing. It's very output oriented. So,
and how's it going?
It's going fine. However, I will tell you there are a lot of inefficiencies as well. Things that you can do if you're co-located that, you know, in terms of brainstorming creativity is much better. I won't tell you that there are not inefficiencies in working at home.
So
on a
case-by-case basis, it needs to be managed to maximize both.
Correct. And I could make an argument for what Yahoo is doing. And I'm really not familiar specifically with mm-hmm. what problem they're trying to address.
Sure.
But I can just think that in terms of measuring where they are in the marketplace versus, say, a Google, and if they feel that their innovation has slacked off,
mm-hmm.
I could see an argument being made for, look, we really need to be co-located to get those kind of mm-hmm. those creative interactions happening.
And your call is interesting because you've been on both sides of this as a longtime telecommuter saying it can work really well, but also seeing Yahoo's side of the story. I'm curious about one other thing, Mary. Do you see this as a women's issue or having a disparate impact on women?
I don't, because I mostly work with guys, and most of the men, in fact, I'd say 90% of the men are working at home and also have, you know, responsibilities, mm-hmm. you know, with their
right.
kids. So, no, I don't really see it. In my particular circumstance, it's not, you know, not a men's issue
right.
at all.
Right, and Mary, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your call. Lisa, do you see it as a women's issue?
Started out as one, isn't one anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I think that women invented this. Women started pushing for reorganization of the workplace. I think that the reality is right now in any major large employer, which is mostly what we're talking about, people are already working remotely. There is no way, if you have more than one office, that you're not communicating remotely. There is no way, unless you have a job where you started at 8 and ended at 5, that you're not taking some of that home with you and working remotely. So everyone is dealing with this, and I think it is far, far less a gender issue than it used to be.
We're talking with Lisa Belkin, who writes about work and family issues for the Huffington Post, about Marissa Mayer, the new CEO of Yahoo, abolishing, at least for now, telecommuting, working from home, and we'll get to Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, and her new book about women in the workplace and why she's getting backlash from women before the book is even out. Jennifer and Pelham, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. I manage 8 people, and I work at home one day a week. In fact, I'm working from home now. And I let all of the people who work for me work from home. I have a woman who lives 2 hours away. She works from home 3 days a week, and she is a go-to person who runs circles around people who are in the office. You know, they're 8 or 9 hours a day. The men on my team take advantage of this just as much as the women, and in fact ask for it even more in some cases. It's really about giving someone who works hard for you an opportunity to build some flexibility, particularly when you have a really long commute into their life. They still work fairly regular business hours,
mm-hmm.
but they work even harder for me. And it's I look at it every 3 or 4 months, and we say, is this working? Is there anything we need to change? And really, people have become more loyal. They work harder, and their productivity and their innovation is really strong.
And their innovation?
Yeah, they're when they're home on the day or two they're able to work from home each week, they're not distracted by the person coming by their desk and whatnot, and so they're able to sort of think about. That's when they get a lot of pitches about why don't we try this, or I was thinking we could do this if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that people really actually get a little bit of time to think without the distractions as well.
Jennifer, thank you so much for your call. Let's turn, Lisa, to the Sheryl Sandberg story, COO of Facebook. Her forthcoming book is called Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And she'll be launching a social media experiment called Lean In Circles for women to connect with each other on workplace issues online and face-to-face. The book isn't even out for another 12 days, but already there has been a cycle of media backlash followed by a cycle of backlash against the backlash. Have you read it yet?
I actually have read it, but I'm not allowed to talk about it until its embargo date.
Really?
Sheryl is very strict about that.
Well, other people are doing things. For example, already we have Maureen Dowd writing in her New York Times column that Sandberg, quote, has this grandiose plan to become the Pied Piper in Prada ankle boots, reigniting the women's revolution, unquote. But then we have Kara Swisher writing in her Wall Street Journal column that lots of high-profile male execs have written career advice books without all this anger directed at them. Can you say if you're on either side here?
I think a lot of what Maureen was reacting to was Jody Cantor's front page piece about a lot of leaked documents that some people tell me were way outdated and are not exactly what Cheryl is doing. I think it's fascinating that we are so fascinated by a book that hasn't come out yet. I think it's fascinating that we are fascinated by these two strong women. It's a little depressing that they are such rarities that we shine this spotlight on them, that in 2013 we have these two powerful CEO, COO women.
And what ties these stories together to some degree is that here are two of the most powerful women in corporate America, rarities, as you say, in that respect, asking lower down women,
right,
especially mothers, to work traditional male office hours or embrace what seem like traditional male workplace goals.
That is what ties the two of them together, that they have reached the stratosphere and they sure seem in many ways to many people to not remember what it's like to live in the real world. I mean, the Marissa Meyer controversy, one of the facts that came out is that she's built a nursery next to her office. So people are saying, okay, we can't work from home, but she can bring home to work. If I could bring home to work, then I might not have the conflicts that I have.
It's just next to her office. It's not for other
employees. It is next to her office for her child. Sheryl Sandberg sounds like she's in a way blaming the victim. She's saying, you know, if you were just more ambitious then, and also left work every day at 5:30 to be home with your children, but if you were just more ambitious, then you would also be a leader like me. And that ignores the infrastructure obstacles. That ignores years of history and discrimination and subtle social, you know, points of view. So, yeah, both of these women are being blamed by other women.
And you can't break the embargo on the content of the book, but if one were to give advice to women on how to work in a salary negotiation, how to sit at meetings, when to smile, do you think that sort of thing would be empowering to women, how to sit at meetings, when to smile, or is it blaming the victim and ignoring the structural inequalities?
There's a little too much blaming the victim in it for my taste. I think we should find where Anne-Marie Slaughter – let's add another name to the conversation. So Anne-Marie Slaughter left work
the
for Hillary
State
Clinton,
right?
Because she said women still can't have it all, she wrote in The Atlantic. And she says the workplace needs to change, that the problem is work was invented for men who had women at home taking care of life while they took care of work, and it doesn't work that way anymore. The two of them, in a way, are both right. Women need to lean in and assert themselves, and I think what they need to assert themselves about is changing the workplace so that it reflects modern technology and modern life.
Waseen in Princeton. You're on WNYC. Hello, Waseen.
Hey, Brian. Great show. Always great show. First-time caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I really want to ring it out loud for in support of the Yahoo girls. She is doing an amazing job. I think there's a whole bunch of people out there who are abusing the process. And just the fact that she is bringing this whole issue to attention, I don't think she started out like that. But now that it has been caught up in this whole warp, it's a great reflection on this whole thing, because there's tremendous amount of abuse out there. And while I totally agree, it has been said before.
You mean abuse of the work at home capability?
Yes, because there are a lot of people who are, shall we say, they're not doing enough work or double dipping. And
calling into talk shows while working from home, things like that.
Yes, and or doing other business. I mean, there are people who are running their own businesses on the side while pretending to be working for the business.
Waseen, thank you very much. We're going to run out of time in a minute. Lisa Belkin, and as I say, we'll be doing more on the Sheryl Sandberg book in the coming days. But to finish up on Marissa Meyer of Yahoo banning working at home, maybe as one column I read suggested, she's just going to do this temporarily. Yahoo has been through three CEOs in the last year, I believe. She's going to get everybody's attention, let everybody know she's serious, galvanize the workforce, and then she can go back to a case-by-case basis.
And I think that's what's going to happen. But I think that the message being sent, because she is so high profile and Yahoo is so in the spotlight, is dangerous. One, you've got to push back and say, well, wait a second. This is a good thing, this trend. And no, we can't just blanket erase it and erase 20 years of progress.
Lisa Belkin is a senior columnist on life, work, and family issues for The Huffington Post. The conversation continues. Our comments page is Hopping Post yours, and join the conversation at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll dive into that eye-popping new study suggesting the Mediterranean diet prevents heart attacks and strokes much better than low-fat diets, a big study with very large differences in the outcomes. Stay with us.